To be joined live on the phone now by an old friend of ours, and we haven't spoken in quite some time, nutritional therapist Anna Ryan. Anna, good morning to you.
Good morning, George.
Great
happy
to talk to you again.
And your listeners.
Yeah, it's a blast from the past, and a very happy new year to you. Firstly, Anna, what are the eats and the don't eats? When it comes to a healthy diet, what are the kind of things you should be eating? What are the kind of things that you should not be eating?
Okay, well, that's a very difficult question to answer very simply, because
I just thought I'd ease you back in.
Well, no, I suppose as a nutritional therapist, we believe that we are biologically individual, and a diet that suits one person might not necessarily suit another. So you really do have to work out yourself personally as an individual what suits yourself. But I mean, obviously the basics, the more processed food, it's not going to be good for your health. So the more wholesome food you can get within your diet, the better for everyone. But I suppose from an individual point of view, you need to look at possibly why it is you want to change your diet. Is it that you want to get healthier? Is it that you want to lose weight? Is it that you have particular symptoms that you might want to avoid, kind of IBS symptoms or even just a little bit of bloating? You need to look at the why before you look at the what, if that makes any sense.
Are there any symptoms, Anna? Now, I know you're not a doctor, but is there anything you should look out for if you've not been eating well? Tiredness, maybe fatigue, maybe a darkening of the skin.
It'd be classic symptoms of, I suppose, nutrient deficiencies, that you're not getting enough within your diet in order to sustain your energy levels. So even things like constipation or bloating, or you just don't feel right in yourself. You can certainly do a lot through diet and lifestyle to help yourself get back on track. And it depends really what your version of back on track is. So if you want more energy, more sustained energy throughout the day, you might maybe look at the amount of sugar within your diet, because you might have an imbalance in your blood sugar levels. So three simple rules: eat little and often, and take protein with every meal and snack, and really just go for the low sugar foods. So in terms of food in general, you'd be looking at unprocessed food, plenty of fruit and vegetables in there, and of the fruits, try and go for the lower sugar fruits, so your berries versus your, say, bananas, which would be a higher sugar food.
Yeah, I'm a divil, you see, for bananas, and I was talking with Lakshmi earlier. I knocked sugar on the head 99 days ago after
a divvy tooth.
Thank you. And I can tell you, it's as I mentioned earlier, when we were talking about this, Lakshmi and myself, I did have a pretty bad, impressive sweet tooth. And but I found this the easiest thing ever. I've not been tempted once. And people have tried to tempt me, but I've not been tempted at all. So if I can do it, and usually on a Monday morning at this hour, I'm drooping already, but I'm grand. I feel great. So as I said, if I can do it, anybody can.
Huge difference. And it would be surprising, actually. I would ask your listeners, if they are looking to reduce or remove processed sugar from their diet, maybe just look at your food labels and become knowledgeable as to the amount of sugar within your current diet before you start changing it.
Yeah.
So a low sugar food, if you're looking at the food label, look at the per 100 gram of the product. So if it has 5 grams or less of sugar per 100 gram of the product, it's deemed to be a low sugar food. So aim for those. 15 grams or more per 100 gram is deemed to be a high sugar food. So you'll find that a lot of the, the chocolate bars or the biscuits or whatever would be above that 15 grams. And also try and make sure that there's a good healthy balance between your carbohydrates, your fats, and your protein at every meal and snack. Try not to have just carbohydrates as a form of any snack or meal.
I mean, I was amazed. I saw a thing that went around social media sites just before Christmas, and the amount of sugar in things that you wouldn't think sugar would be in, pizzas.
Yeah.
It's staggering. Yeah. Absolutely staggering.
Or even, you know, say you're saying that usually your energy levels would have kind of drooped around this time of the morning.
Yes, yeah.
And you might think that you'd be healthier going for the muesli bar option versus the biscuit bars.
Mm.
If you look at the pack on the muesli bars, you might find that the sugar content in some of them is higher than it would be, say, on a small snack size chocolate bar or a couple of biscuits. So just be aware that you think you're doing healthier things for your body, but if you don't know the background as to what it is you should be putting in, you might actually not be doing yourself any favors at all. So just make yourself knowledgeable as to the various options out there for yourself.
I think it's great as well, because I'm a great believer in starting good habits young. The amount of schools who don't allow sweet snacks in is fantastic, and I think that's a whopping step forward. What about something like a sugar tax? Do we have a sugar tax in this country? I know the chef Jamie
Not
Oliver
yet.
Has been very instrumental in the introduction of sugar taxes in the UK. I'm not too sure if we have the same rules here or if anything like that applies here. But do you think that might be a good idea?
I think the idea behind it is great, in that obviously sugar has been linked to an awful lot of health conditions. I mean, you've got obesity, you've got diabetes, you've got heart disease, you've got certain cancers. The list goes on, and it's even been linked to things like dementia. You know, some of the experts are calling Alzheimer's the type 3 diabetes. So it cannot be understated the, I suppose, adverse effects sugar has on your diet. But it's not just sugar. It's too much of anything, like one particular thing in your diet. You need to have as varied a diet as possible with as much fresh produce in there as possible. So as I said earlier, plenty of fruit and vegetables, particularly vegetables. As a nation, we're really, really bad in terms of vegetable intake. We don't take enough in. It used to be recommended 5 portions of fruit or veg a day, and then 3 of which should be vegetables. But that's gone up to 7, 5 of which should be veg. And some experts are saying that actually should be 10, 7 of which should be veg. So if you're looking to do, you know, really good things for your overall health and well-being, increase your vegetable intake. But it doesn't even have to go that far. It could be as simple as making sure you're properly hydrated with preferably water during the day, because that can have a major impact on your cognitive ability, your bowel health, just your overall well-being, your energy levels. If you are sufficiently hydrated, it's surprising the difference that can make to your energy levels throughout the day.
We've spoken about food for the guts of the last 10 minutes. I just want to talk about fluids for the next few minutes if possible. Anna,
okay.
What should we be drinking and what should we not be drinking? I know the usual stuff, you know, cans of fizzy drinks, again, packed with sugar, alcohol maybe. Is there anything we can drink that's good for us, that'll do us good, that won't do us any harm at all?
Well, obviously, the answer would be water is the best of all. You know, still, water is obviously the best because, you know, the carbonated water, the fizzy water, has been shown maybe to have adverse effects on your bones. So if bone health is something that you're trying to look after, then steer clear of the carbonated water. But even if you find water is a little tasteless and you find it hard to stomach, try and flavour it with you know, fruit slices, so your lemons, your limes, your oranges. Or if you're trying to kind of cut down on sugar, do it slowly. Don't do anything cold turkey, because around about this time of year, everyone makes New Year resolutions. But it's actually only 6 to 8% of us keep it by the following January, which is a very low statistic when you think about it. So go easy on yourself. You know, if you are used to having, say, your fizzy drinks, maybe switch over to fruit juices to start with, and then gradually, as the year goes on, dilute the fruit juices down so that you're maybe by this time next year only having, say, fruit slices within some water. But try not to be too harsh on yourself, because that's a big mistake that a lot of us make. We kind of start the year saying, okay, well, I overindulged in Christmas and the New Year, and I want to go out there and I want to be as healthy as I can. I'm going to run a marathon a week. I'm going to eat nothing but organic produce. And it's not realistic. So be realistic with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Go gradually, because it's healthy habits that you're trying to instill in yourself. And research has shown that it can take up to 12 weeks to instill a healthy habit within our normal daily routine. So give yourself that time just to get used to one or two small changes, and then kind of up the level as you go along, but certainly don't go cold turkey. So in terms of drinks, definitely water would be the best. Flavor it with some fruit juices, sorry, some fruit slices, or dilute your fruit juices, because again, fruit juices can be high in sugar, and obviously you're not getting, like if you have a piece of fruit, like an orange, say, you're obviously going to get all of the nutrients within the orange because it will be freshly peeled, and the fiber to help balance out your blood sugar levels. But if you're having just pure orange juice, you're possibly losing out a lot on the fiber element, which is going to lead to a spike in your blood sugar levels. So just be aware of that and just try and make healthier decisions for yourself, but go easy on yourself. As you said earlier, the carbonated canned drinks would definitely not be good for your health. Alcohol in moderation is fine. You know, research has shown that red wine, if you are going to go alcohol, red wine does have certain elements. You know, the compound called resveratrol, and it's been shown to be protective of the heart and the brain. So in moderation, a little bit of red wine is fine. A little bit of anything is fine. Just don't go too crazy.
What are the best snacks for children? I mentioned earlier that it's better, I think, or best to start good habits young. Is there any snacks that children won't kind of like turn their nose up to that they may, in actual fact, get to like a lot that'll do them good? And I'm talking about trying to get them away from chocolate bars and sweets and biscuits and that kind of thing, which doesn't do them any good at all.
No. Well, there are so many options out there. What I do with my two is I make kind of flapjacks with banana. Remember we spoke about banana being high sugar food?
Yes, yeah.
So by adding things like banana, the natural sugars in there, and you have to remember that we are pre-programmed to seek out that sweet taste from a very, very young age, from birth really. And breast milk is sweet, and that's a taste that we're born to seek out. So by including some natural sugars from the banana, it means that I don't have to add any sugars to, or you know, minimal sugars to the recipe itself. And I make it with oats, and you know, I put some seeds and nuts and that kind of thing, because the fat and the protein within the seeds and the nuts help to balance out the sugar within the banana. So there are so many options out there, and so many different recipes. So experiment. And that's the one good thing about children. They are open to experimentation, especially if you include them in the preparation in the kitchen. So get them to help you. They love helping in the kitchen, getting their hands messy with all of the mixture and seeing the product at the end of it. They kind of feel very responsible and proud of themselves as a result of making something that you can actually taste and not turn your nose up. So they're more likely, because they have invested their time and energy into making something, they'd be more likely then to, you know, try the product afterwards. But definitely, you know, the vegetable sticks or pieces of fruit, and give it to them with some hummus, or you could make up, there's a kind of a cheese chocolate sauce, well, not even a chocolate sauce, but a chocolate dip that I make with avocado and just the unsweetened cocoa powder. And then depending on where your child is in terms of their taste buds, you might try a drop or two, say, of vanilla extract or orange extract, something like that, just to flavour it. But as their taste changes, you could maybe take that out as you go along. But definitely just try and experiment with your child. Try not to limit their taste buds, because by limiting them, it kind of makes them fussier eaters as well. And we all have fussy eaters. And it depends on the day as well. They could just wake up on a bad humour.
Now, we've just gone through Christmas, and the new year is freshly upon us. And with the expenditure over Christmas, people mightn't have a lot of disposable income. And certainly, I'm one of them, you know. But you know, for people who want to feed their family but have a kind of fairly strict budget to feed their family with, are there any foods out there that don't cost the earth but feed you properly?
Yeah, this is where your lentils and beans really do come into their own, because you can buy a tin of, you know, cannellini beans or kidney beans, or, you know, you've seen them in any of the major supermarkets out there, and they can be quite cheap, like 39 cents for a 400 gram tin. And these would be really good sources of fiber. So again, you're going to be balancing out the blood sugar levels, and also they're a good source of protein. So you're adding to the nutritional content of your food, and it's a cheap alternative. Lentils, again, would be a good protein food, and it's also good for your bowel, for the fiber. So definitely go for your beans, your pulses. Vegetables, again, if you buy fruit and veg within season, they will be cheaper than buying out of season. And don't turn your nose up at the frozen vegetables, because they are, you know, some surveys have shown that they can be as high in nutritional content as fresh produce. So if you're on a tight budget and you don't want to have, you know, the way if you buy a big bag of, I don't know, say carrots, you might not use all of the carrots and some of them go a little bit wilty in the fridge, then you could definitely go along the line of your frozen veg instead. So you reduce down your waste, and they can be economic versus the fresh produce if out of season. So kind of shop around, but definitely if you're looking for kind of healthier options but on a budget, I would say in-season fresh produce, and go for your beans and your pulses to get your protein and your fiber in there, because we all know that meat can be expensive. So they would be a good kind of a high protein alternative to meat. Plus, vegetarian food can be very good for your bowel. Just give your bowel a rest, say, for 1 or 2 days a week. Just go vegetarian. Try it out. You never know. You might like it.
You never know. Now, as far as diet is concerned, how are we doing here in Ireland, Anna? Are we improving, disapproving, middling?
Well, again, it would depend on who you are and whereabouts you're living. Unfortunately, your background, your socioeconomic background, does have an impact on your access to healthier food, or it seems to. You know, a lot of the, say, pizzas or fast food options would be quite cheap, but unfortunately, it's nutritionally empty. So we are improving overall. There does seem to be, in the last few years, a certain push for healthier options, healthier versions. So in that sense, even as you say, the schools are, you know, pushing for low sugar foods and no treats to be included within the lunch boxes, that kind of thing. But definitely there is a long way to go. I think we need to, I suppose, look at where we are individually and make our own decisions. And if we want to be healthier, then definitely there's room to improve for all of us. And I'm including myself in that.
In the minute or so that we have left, Anna, have you got a phone number handy that if people want to find out more information maybe about yourself, or maybe more information about diet in general, have you got a phone number there handy where people can find that information, or a website maybe, some social media page that you can recommend to our listeners?
Well, my website is www.nicanutrition.ie, so nicanutrition.ie.
Okay.
My email address is nicanutrition@gmail.com. Again, it's nicanutrition@gmail.com. And my phone number is 087-7604-155.
Lastly, just something that's popped into my head literally just now, and I think it's a very important point as well, and I'll ask you for, it's a question rather than a point. Is it better to diet in pairs or in groups than diet by yourself?
Well, a lot of people seem to do better with that support, social support, and there's a certain amount of accountability if you're in a group setting. So I would definitely say for the vast majority of people, it would be a good thing to, you know, seek out others who have the same health goals as yourself or are doing the same or want the same goals as yourself. So if someone, say one of your friends or family members wants to do the same thing, then definitely hook up with them and stay in touch with each other and be each other's accountability buddy. If you don't know someone within your social circle or you kind of feel awkward about, you know, embarking on that health journey with somebody that you know, then seek out somebody within the community who's offering that kind of support. So there are so many supports out there, especially in January. Everyone seems to go health crazy for January in particular. So if it is that you want to get fitter, then, you know, join a gym, or there are fitness clubs out there. You know, there are boot camps, there are running clubs, there are yoga classes. There are so many different options. Find something for yourself. If it is dieting, then I would seek some proper advice. Don't go on crash diets, because although it's good to improve your health, a lot of us seem to feel that, you know, it's January, I need to detox after the festive season. And we go on bizarre detox diets that do not work and just end up slowing your metabolism and making your overall health so much worse. And they're impossible to stick with. So I would advise you to steer clear of the detox diets altogether. Unless, obviously, it's for medical reasons and you're under the supervision of a medical practitioner. But, you know, definitely in general, people do better with that social support and accountability from doing it with somebody else.
Sound advice, Anna, as always. And great to talk to you again. It's been too long.
And you too.
It's been too long.
And Happy New Year to
and
everyone.
Same to you, Anna, and to all your family as well. And we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you very much, George.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.